Welcome to another edition of Between the Covers, a Literature Quickie. My name's Tofu Dave. We're here on Community Radio, WCOM-FM 103.5, with another edition of the Literature Quickie. And today I'm pleased to have on the air the author of Living for a Living. His name is Jamal Javanji. And I've got him on the line now. Good morning, Jamal. How are you today?
I'm well. Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, I love the title of your book because I try every day to live as though I'm living. Mm. And you may resonate with that because that's what you called your book. And it seems like, you know, we make a lot of distinctions in life amongst people. One of the distinctions related to your title, in my mind, is there are people who sort of go through life and they're maybe never really sure if they want to participate. You know, you meet them and you're not sure, are you really here with me or are you somewhere else? But you called your book Living for a Living. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you mean by that?
Yes, thank you for the question. Well, basically, the title came from a frustration that I've had because a lot of times, so I grew up in a family in which, you know, I love my parents. They did the best they could, but what they did every day for quote unquote work was not something they wanted to do. It's something they felt like they had to do. So when I was growing up, you know, people say, hey, what do you want to do for a living when you grow up? And then eventually grew up and people say, hey, what is it that you do for a living? That I understand the question. The question is, it should be rephrased though. It's what do you do for money? Because oftentimes what people are trained to do for money is not what we do for a living. Because to live means you have exactly what you said. You have to be totally involved and be in it with both feet to be totally present. Well, what in order to do that, you actually have to be doing something that is in alignment with your core essence, what makes you come alive. And that what a lot of people do for money is not necessarily what they do for a living. And I thought, if my work can be in alignment with what I do, with who I am, then maybe I could actually live for a living.
Now, of course, that should be the goal. I don't know if everybody gets even to the point of thinking about some of those topics you just raised. And I'll tell you, I want to jump around a little here. My show is a little bit informal. And we have had on the air some people that have been incarcerated and who actually, in a way, wrote about a similar thing because they, I'm thinking of one guy in particular who wrote a book with somebody who's very close to me called Prison from the Inside Out. And one of the things that when you follow the story in the book is in a certain mental sense, when this gentleman was incarcerated, you might say he wasn't alive yet in a way, because I mean that by he wasn't conscious of how he operated in the world entirely with other people. And that changes. And one of the things why I wanted to talk to you is that I noticed in your press release, if I had it right, that you used to work in that corrections sphere. So if you don't mind, I just want to ask you about that. And does that experience have anything to do with this realignment you just talked about?
Absolutely. And yeah, I did. I used to be a corrections officer. I worked in a state penitentiary. And I actually did it for a paycheck. Interestingly enough, the reason I did it is because it paid well. And, you know, obviously what an analogy. The analogy was I'm checking myself into a prison to trade time for money. I'm literally behind bars 8 hours a day for a paycheck. And anytime we are forced to do something against our will, we call that prison, right? It's a sort of cage that keeps us from really being who we are designed to be. And when I worked in the prison, I worked with a lot of inmates in there who had gotten there because they were in survival mindset. In some way, shape, or form, they felt like they had to survive. So that ended up leading them to making decisions from this place of trauma. And whenever we make decisions from a place of survival or trauma, we're out of alignment with who we are. And I began to see that very clearly in my time working in the prison as a corrections officer.
So part of your journey related to what you wrote was realigning that for yourself. So what was there any particular event or thought that caused you to really realign your life in this way?
Well, it was a series of thoughts. So there was a series of things. I mean, many, when I worked in the prison, I remember in one particular instance, there was a situation where a little mini riot happened. I was in the middle of it. And I literally, one of the first times in my life, I actually thought this was the end. I was not going to make it out of this. And at that point, the money and the notoriety of being a corrections officer, the benefits, the paycheck, all of that seemed absolutely minuscule in that moment, because I realized what was driving me to do this work was simply survival. But it wasn't going to matter, 50 years from now, or when I'm on my deathbed, the things I'm doing every day, what is it really going to matter? And I realized keeping people locked up isn't really my passion and my desire. One of the things I loved about the job was seeing the folks beyond their story, seeing the people behind the mask they were wearing, because below the mask of this criminal mask that they were wearing, this violent mask they were wearing, I actually began to realize that they are no different than myself. They just were out of alignment. So that eventually led me to wanting to get into this line of work where I'm really helping people come into alignment with their core essence.
So important. Again, we're talking today with Jamal Javanji, the author of Living for a Living. And when we talk about what you just said, one phrase thing comes to my mind, and I think as we go through our daily life, everybody has a tendency sometimes to judge a book by the cover, to make that literary analogy. We look at people, and it's difficult sometimes to go beyond the uniform that they're wearing, for example, in the case you just mentioned, or their facial hair, or the jewelry that the young lady may be wearing, or whatever the case might be. And very often, I think, in our mindset, we have to get beyond the superficialities and try in our everyday life when we meet somebody, if it's at the checkout counter or wherever it is in our life, to not just look at the superficial and try to remind ourselves, that's a human being I'm interacting with now. How do you react to that kind of a statement?
Oh, I love it. I think it's essential. I mean, really, when you think of what is the human body is literally about approximately 37 trillion cells. These cells are being born and they're dying constantly. So much so that folks say about every, 7 to 10 years, you have a completely new body. So there's not one cell in our body that's present today that was there at birth. So when people say, oh, this is me, and they point to their body, I say, well, if you're 50 years old, you've had several bodies. You've had over 7 bodies. So which body are you? It's an unstable reality because, our body, our physical body is, I look at it as like a radio, right? It's a device that gives expression, right? If you take the radio apart, there's nobody inside there. It's just it's a machine in some ways that gives expression to what quote unquote is unseen. And I always say that the most stable part of us as a human being is what we call consciousness. It's this essence or life beyond the physicality. That's who we really are. And that's constant, because we might have had 7 or 8 bodies by the time we're 50, but there's been one us. Who we are, actually the core of who we are, doesn't change. And it's really getting in touch with that core. That's what we call awakening.
Jamal, I like that. And again, Jamal Javanji, the author of Living for a Living. I think you've got a website. It's Jamal Javanji, JIVANJEE.com. We're here at Community Radio. Between the Covers, a literature quickie with your host, Tofu Dave. Our website is WCOM www.jamalfm.org. Jamal, it's really been a pleasure to talk to you today about your new book, Living for a Living, Moving from a Mindset of Survival to an Economy of Love. Jamal, is there any last words you'd like to add to illuminate our community radio audience on what you do?
Well, I would just say that it's been a pleasure joining you for your show. And if you're listening to this, you know, pay attention to what stood out to you and follow up with that, because I'm somebody who just, I don't believe in coincidences. You know, I'm my understanding is that everything happens for a reason. So you were listening to this for a very specific reason.
Thank you, Jamal. Again, Jamal Jivanji, author of Living for a Living, here on another edition of Between the Covers of Literature Quickie with your host, Tofu Dave. See you again next week for another Quickie.